Welcome to My Wild Magic with me, your host, Adrian Cobb. Join me on a journey back home to your truest self in this inspiring, enlightening, and entertaining show. After a near-death experience in a car crash at 15 years old, I made a choice to stay and brought back with me three simple truths that I found from the other side. Love is all there is. Our time is over here quicker than we think. And we all have a purpose, a soul blueprint to fulfill. On this show, you will find a higher purpose, a creative expression, and unique soul attributes that you can bring forth into this world. Stay tuned with me for the next hour and find your higher purpose on My Wild Magic, starting now. Right. Welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining My Wild Magic with Adrian. I'm Adrian, and you are listening to Transformation Talk Radio. And today on our show, we have Nova DeBoer. And she's really a woman of many talents, I think. She does do an amazing massage. She does amazing body work, energy work. She works with high frequency star beings, Lyrians, Sirians, you name it. She probably is willing to work with them. They're all pretty cool. But one of the things that she has a unique gift for is helping people to understand their dreams and being able to use her intuition to kind of help decipher our dream space. So welcome, Nova. Thanks for being on the show today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Adrian.
Yeah. So, wow. So when it comes to dreams, you know, what's your basic philosophy of that? Like some people believe in them. Some people think they're worthless. Some people don't remember them at all. Some people live by them. Like they make decisions based on them. So what's your kind of basic?
Yeah. I think whether dreams are just your subconscious chewing on something throughout your day, or whether they really feel like your guides are talking to you. I think our dreams speak in metaphors, and, you know, when it comes down to interpretation, if some people either, you know, don't think their dreams are real or don't want to interpret, and I say, don't do it then. But if you want to open up to that wisdom of the subconscious and open up in interpreting your dreams, they speak to us in metaphors, and all the imagery is in metaphors. And so once we learn the language that our dreams are trying to talk to us in, I think that's a big key to unlocking their power.
Yeah, because they are pretty symbolic, right? I mean, for sure. And then some people, so you're thinking with a metaphor, meaning sort of like, what does it sort of symbolically mean? Is that what you mean by metaphor?
Yeah, like the metaphor being like this, the dream symbols that we have are just like a metaphor for what's going on in our life at that time.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm just thinking about my dreams from last night. And then I also noticed that if I want to do dream analysis and dream work and really incorporate that, it's pretty easy. Once I go to bed at night and decide, you know, I want to remember my dreams, I wake up in the morning in that lucid kind of state and really focus on it. And even if I just get a glimpse of something, you write it down or you think about it, and it seems like then your brain is like, oh, she wants to do dream stuff. And then it seems like the mind really starts to cooperate the minute you set your intention. Is that true? Like for people who don't know how to do dream stuff yet?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like the subconscious is just, it's this like wealth of knowledge and wisdom that's waiting there for us to tap into it. And sometimes just setting the intention to remember our dreams, really having a good practice around writing them down, that can really help unlock the wisdom that's already there.
Yeah, especially I think if people do morning pages and stuff already, it's a really great time just to incorporate that in. Yes, let's jump right in. Let's just go right off the deep end right now. So I had like insane dreams last night. I went to bed like 8:30 actually. It took me a little while to get to sleep. But when I woke up this morning, now there was something I watched where a character on TV actually got stabbed kind of unexpectedly. So there was that in the dream, right? Mm-hmm. And that might've just been me processing the emotions, feelings of what I saw and not liking it so much, you know, so it could be that. But then the dream went on, and this was what, cause I want to work with the metaphor part of it with you. So in the dream, there was a female sitting kind of across the room on a couch, somebody I'm close to, right? And so they were sitting across the room. And then I was sitting next to these two friends of mine, these two guy friends of mine. And they're together in a relationship, right? And this other person, you know what I mean, I'm close with, right? So, but they were all wearing red shirts, right? So they're all wearing red shirts, and for some reason, I'm kind of looking at sort of sitting with these two guys, sort of in a safety, almost like a father figure type position, right? And what happened? But this was the weird part of the dream, is that we started moving the air like the elemental kingdom. We started moving it with our breath, and one of the males was like blowing, but when he blowed, there was all this energy that would move and circulate. Then the other one would do it, and then we all started doing it, including the female. So it's like we were using it. Like, it's every once in a while, I have dreams where I'm controlling the weather or the elements, like I'm participating with it, maybe not controlling it, but participating. So there. So metaphorically, we got a bright red color. It totally stood out. Father figure type energy, relationship type energies, and then this circling of wind, like it was clearly a circle, and you could see the wind became energy.
So
So,
immediately, the first place my mind went was red. I mean, is a color of power, but also the fire element and the synergistic relationship between fire and air. You had these, people wearing red. They're the fire element blowing the air. There's this synergistic relationship between fire and air. The other question I want to ask, and I think it's really important in interpreting any dream, is what were your emotions in the dream and immediately upon waking?
yeah, so in having it, I was seeking a sense of safety, right? I could tell by the way I was kind of leaning into the two friends. I was kind of seeking a sense of safety in the dream, and overall, kind of like a father figure type thing. And when we were blowing, at first it was like practicing that, oh, I can move this energy, and then I could see it visually, like silver or gold streams of light. Right. And then I felt empowered. So I started out almost kind of inner childlike, kind of like feeling like I needed protected. And then feeling empowered and like, oh my God, I can do this on my own.
Yeah, gosh,
There you have it.
it sounds like it's a dream, I mean, perhaps about like learning to use your own, the process of learning to use your own magic. I know you're pretty well developed in that realm, but like the emotional state at the beginning of the dream was kind of like, I'm seeking comfort and safety, but I want to try this new thing. And as you're trying it, you're gaining confidence, you're gaining skill, and it's showing in the colors that are coming up, and you're watching this happen. And then it's like this transition from like inner child wants to be protected, is guided, and then becomes the master. And like you become a master of, let's say, these this element, the fire element.
Right. Yeah. And then the other cool thing was, is that the female across the room, I felt separation with at first, not for any big reason, but they were just sitting over there. But once we started blowing the air and moving it, they came over and sat with us. And then we were all together doing this. Like it was one big, like, yeah, kind of move the element party kind of thing. Yeah. It was very fun.
Cool.
So what do you think is it like that part of the dream I felt was super significant and definitely worth writing down and doing some dream analysis. The first part of the dream that woke me up a little uncomfortable was the stabbing dream, obviously not really feeling that safe. And I think that was from something I saw on TV, right? That kind of filtered in. But how do you think that works? Because I'm sure I've probably seen like maybe I saw like, 2 million different things in that 2 hour period that my eyes took in, right? But I got stuck on that one. And then it played out in my dream. So what do you think is the difference? Like would that also be interpreted, or is that just something kind of processing?
Yeah, so the way I would see that, I think often our dreams, before we get to even like the meaty bits of our dreams often play out the like emotional residues we pick up throughout the day. And especially, I notice this if I watch a lot of TV at night. Specifically, I've been on this like crime kick lately. It's like especially if I'm zoning out into it and just like absorbing the essentially violence, it's like my dreams will then work out that violence before I can get even into something a little bit more substantial and pertinent to my life and my process. And no matter what sort of emotional things you're picking up throughout the day, if you aren't completely emptying your sieve before you go to bed at night, and I don't even think that's possible sometimes, that stuff definitely gets played out in dreams. And it sounds like to me that it's like you had to do that. You kind of emptied that emotional residue, and then your dream developed into something more meaningful for you. That's something I notice in my dreams as well. And there's often like a shift, like a setting shift in, or sometimes I'll wake up and go back to sleep in that moment in between the emotional residue processing and then the actual cool dream stuff.
Yeah, right, exactly. So when you're wanting to kind of empty yourself for the night, do you have a particular practice or something that you recommend? Because I know you texted me even a couple of days ago about, oh, before you go to bed, definitely clear your subconscious or set your subconscious intentionally. So
Yeah.
what do you recommend as a practice before going to bed?
I know for me, what works best as a body worker and energy worker, I will pick up all sorts of stuff throughout the day. I always take a shower. Immediately when
I
I get
do.
home from work, I take a shower,
Yeah.
and that helps me at least slough off, other people's stuff. Sometimes I will
Absolutely.
mindlessly watch TV before going to sleep, and then that stuff might wiggle its way into my dreams. But for me, water is a really powerful tool, so I'll take a shower. For someone else, that might look like go putting your feet in some dirt before you go to sleep. And really like envisioning that grounding cord if you're an earthier person, or maybe you are a fiery person and you want to do some sort of ritual with a candle. I think it really is individual, but to have some sort of practice where you can tell the difference between yourself and other people's junk, and just really making sure you're there before you fall asleep.
I see. Yeah, I see what you're saying with that. So, Christine Marie Sheldon does a really good job where she connects to source and she draws down cosmic flow of pure love and light. And any place that we've disconnected throughout the day in one of those chakras, we just clear any disconnection and bring it back into connection. And you just go through each chakra with pure love and light that way. I do find it's a pretty good one. The other one, I wonder, I'm going to start doing this one at night to see how it feels. Is are these my emotions, feelings, thoughts, or belief systems? Clear anything that is not mine to be transmuted in pure love and light, but transmute it, release it, let it go, turn it over. Any emotions, feelings, thoughts, belief systems that are not mine. That might be another good way as well. So I love that clearing. And then some people also do like a rain shower. Even if they're not going to take a shower, they do like that rain shower, just washes through their energy field. So we're going to go to a quick break. So everybody stay tuned. We're going to go much deeper into the dreamscape in just a moment. And we'll be right back.
Are you constantly trying to figure out who you are, where you belong, and what your purpose is? Then let Adrian Cobb guide you to the core of your soul blueprint. Knowing your soul blueprint helps you to figure out your life in a way that works best for you on your own terms. You'll walk away feeling genuinely seen, heard, and appreciated for the gift that you truly are in the universe. To register for her Soul Blueprint online course and Soul Blueprint reading, visit mywildmagic.com. That is mywildmagic.com.
Are you ready to branch out, to take a leap of faith, to love yourself and others fully? Join Erica Gifford Mills in her signature series, The Rooted Life. This virtual 12-week series will equip, empower, and enlighten you. This is a coaching series that allows both group and individual work. 12 weekly, 1-hour sessions in the comfort of your own home. Schedule your free Empower Hour now at GetRootedRadio.com. That is GetRootedRadio.com.
On the Spiritual Freedom Show, you will hear the voice of an extraterrestrial master speaking through my teacher, Dr. George King, as it was recorded over 60 years ago. I'm Richard Lawrence, and on this podcast, I bring you the 9 freedoms, which I believe to be the greatest wisdom on earth, with practical ways to give global service and attain enlightenment.
Do your ADHD tendencies get in the way of you doing what you intend to? Traditional strategies for getting things done may not work for you. You need solutions tailored for your unique brain. In Bonnie Minku's training membership program, Productivity Pathfinder, learn ADHD self-mastery step-by-step at your own pace in a supportive community with live online options each week. Learn more about Productivity Pathfinder at thrivewithadd.com.
Have you heard about shifting the collective vibration and consciousness on the planet? Join me, Kimberly Barrett, on the Sharing Love and Light show every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern at transformationtalkradio.com to explore the depth of vibration and consciousness on our planet and learn how you can shine your love and light. To learn more, visit sharingloveandlightshow.com.
Hey, welcome back. I am Adrienne, and we are here with Nova DeBoer. And she's an energy worker, intuitive, works a lot with her third eye and different star systems of energy, and is kind of just got a special gift with dreams. So, Nova, we were going to talk about, it sounds like a little bit about, I'm curious about the emotions of dreams. Like some dreams just bring up, I'm very emotional, and I'll have a dream and be mad at somebody the whole rest of the day if I have a bad dream and it upsets me and they won't even know what's happening. I'm like, talk to the hand. I had a bad dream and that's it now until I work through it, you know? So what happens when we have emotions and dreams? What do you think about all that? How to process?
I think the emotion is like the bottom two thirds of the iceberg of our dreams. I really believe that. I think you can have the same dream, you know, story-wise five times and you feel a different way in each dream. And to me, each dream is going to mean a very different thing. I could really give an example here. Let's say you have a dream. This was a recurring one of mine for years and years and years, that I'm in my car, I'm driving, and then someone else takes over driving my car. And for a long, these were very distressing, very anxiety-riddling. You know, my mom would come in and start driving my car, and I'd be in the back seat trying to control her controlling my car, right? Very symbolic. And it was distressing, and I would feel out of control, and I would feel resentful. And that was very symbolic within my life. I was letting my mother drive my car, so to speak, and I was resentful over that. But let's just say, for example, I had a dream that another family member came in and drove my car, and I felt relief. I felt relief. I was sitting in the passenger seat and I could finally relax because I let, you know, someone else drive my car.
Wow.
That dream is going to be very different symbolically. Maybe you're exhausted and it's nice to let someone else take control for a moment so you can get some rest. And you know, so the basic structure is there, right? Someone else is driving your car, but your feelings about it are very different. And so the meaning of the dream is very different.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you can have whole recurring dreams. Like another common one is people losing teeth. I mean, what do you think about that one?
Oh my gosh, I don't know. But whenever I have one of those dreams, I wake up and I'm so glad to be awake. but it makes me think, and maybe this is me pulling on astrology a little bit, it makes me think of Saturnian themes. Saturn rules the bones and the teeth. And I had a series of really awful teeth dreams during my Saturn return that got progressively better.
Oh, wow.
And at the end I had them all replaced with like pristine, perfect, teeth that were ready for the next 30 years of my life. And it was like a structure thing. It was related to structures in my life. And there was these old rotting structures that weren't working that had to be pulled out and then rebuilt.
Yeah. So, with emotions, and do you have like a way that when you do have an emotion in a dream that's strong, powerful, catches your attention, once awake, because your unconscious is clearly working through it, how it's working through it. But then when you wake up, you've got this residue that you're just sort of sitting with. Maybe it's any kind of emotion, right? You know, is there any kind of recommendation what to do with that emotion once you wake up?
Gosh, you know,
you're still kind of processing it.
Yeah, I think it would depend on the emotion in the dream. I think sometimes we wake up from the dream feeling the same as we felt in the dream. And sometimes we wake up from the dream feeling very differently from how we felt in the dream. I think it really depends. It's a case by case.
I usually wake up feeling very similar to the dream. Like that threshold between dreaming and waking up is not, you know what I mean? Like, usually I have to wake up and then it takes me a little while to move through whatever the emotion is, whatever it could be actually.
I think the key to moving through it is to identifying where that dream is a metaphor, what that dream is a metaphor for in your life. And once that kind of clicks, it's easier to feel and process and digest and take action if needed. You know, if we have a dream I don't have these dreams, but it's just a really common one. The people will have the dream that their partner's cheating on them and they wake up and they're pissed at the partner, kind of thing. More so than that actually being a dream about that happening. That's a dream about insecurity in your life or feeling disconnected or whatever. And so getting at the root of why you're feeling that versus the dream story per se. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Cause that's true. Sometimes I will get so into the story, the drama of it, you know, versus what's going underneath in the minute. That's true. The minute, I'd say probably for me, what kind of helps is if I just do some deep breathing and I'll breathe into the dream state, but I'll try to get beneath the dream state into the feeling body, like breathing down into the belly, down into the navel area, and just letting myself almost kind of open to whatever it is underneath it. That seems to be really where I find the most peace and the most understanding about the dream itself. And if I keep it kind of superficial, I kind of spin out a little bit, whatever. Exactly. If it's a good dream, I'm like, oh, I should go do that. Or if it's a bad dream, oh yeah, whatever. So, I think for people who are very empathic and emotional empaths, dreams can be very powerful and definitely sometimes maybe kind of sidetrack us a bit.
They can. I think too, often those of us who are very, very sensitive, sometimes we can pick up on the psyches of those that are in physical proximity to us and start chewing on their stuff and not even realize it. Yes. And sometimes it's important to know, I'm like, wait, did these dreams start when I started sleeping? You know, I was a guest in my friend's house for 2 weeks last summer and my dreams were very different there. And I had to realize like, wait, this is their stuff that I'm picking up on and processing, and like, you know, really getting in line with that too. And figuring out, just like in day-to-day life, it's like, wait, that emotion's not mine. In our dream space too, it's like, wait, that wasn't my issue. That was my neighbor's or my roommates or whoever, or my cat. Sometimes she comes to my dreams and it's her stuff. And I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah. Right. And the cat would say, oh, no, I think that's your stuff. Actually, you're just projecting onto me. So we can pick it. That's fascinating. You know, picking up on our animal energy, whoever's in the house energy, that kind of thing. Yeah. And so that takes me to another really big question for you is the collective. Like, yes, people who are more collective empaths. I mean, there's different types of empathy, right? There's you can be just a person empath, but you can be an animal empath, a nature empath, an earth empath, a global empath. So there's these different types of empathy people can have. And some people really have all of them. You don't have to choose. You can take on all of them. So I, with a lot of my clients that I work with, you know, we're doing sessions just during the day, I notice that their nervous system, because the very nature of kind of the Hearts on Fire meditation class I offer and just the conscious, the people, we are working in the collective in our own way. You know what I mean? And I do notice that their nervous system is very sensitive to the collective. So I would imagine that that does play out in their dream time. I mean, sometimes they even talk about it in their dreams, you know?
Yes. That kind of leads me to something else I want to say too. And I think I've been speaking a lot on emotional residue dreams and like very personal dreams. Specifically, those are the kinds of dreams I have. I think a lot of people out there, a lot of my friends, a lot of, you know, things I read anecdotally, people have dreams, these like grand, almost like universal battle dreams.
Yes, I do have some people who talk about that.
Yeah. And I really do think that that's tapping into, as you were saying, we have earth empathy. We have, I would even say we have like universal empathy, and our souls like work in these different ways. And so sometimes our dreams are just literally us doing work in the dream realm. And there are the way our brain can view that. And sometimes we wake up exhausted and it had nothing to do with your emotional residue or your stories or whatever. It's like your soul's work that you're doing. And so, I just wanted to mention that too.
Yeah, we're all in that morphogenetic field of energy around the earth. And there is a oneness to that that we can process. Very much so. That makes a lot of sense with that. Yeah. And, do you think that those dreams have a particular signature tone? Like, you got the personal ones, which are pretty obvious. But when people have, a collective dream space where they're working out on galactic councils or whatever, is there kind of a signature tone or something about those dreams that you would say are different? if somebody had those to recognize?
Yeah, you know, it's hard to say without being in somebody else's consciousness how it would appear to them. To me, those kind of battle-y, larger than me dreams, they feel darker, and I don't mean like shadowy dark. I mean literally physically, it's dark. It's nighttime. That's just for me. And they have a different, as you said, a different feeling tone to them. And it's hard to quantify what exactly that is. But I think once you get in the habit of really paying attention to and journaling and honoring your dreams, you can wake up and be like, no, that was some like soulful stuff playing out. That was a visitation. That was my own, you know, BS, or that was some emotional residue. And once you develop that relationship with yourself, I think you can kind of suss out what kind of dream you're having.
Yeah, because would you say the same is true? You just really look for the metaphor and the feeling regardless, you know, of the dream. Same kind of theory of if you want to do kind of dreamscape work and integrate with it, it'd be the same no matter what type of dream.
Yeah, I would say so. Fine, like get it down to one sentence storyline, you know, somebody else drove my car and I was pissed.
Okay, we're going to talk about, okay, so we're going to take a quick break and come back and talk about the one sentence thing, because you've taught me this before and I keep forgetting, so I'm just so chatty. So we'll be right back in just a moment. Stay tuned.
Hi everyone, I'm Dr. Pat. I'm the host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I am the creator of the Transformation Network, doing what we do in the world of positive radio, informed, educated, positive media. Independent radio hosts and independent networks have been the face of positive messaging over the past decade. So all of us here have decided we're going to put together an independent network that is going to enable people to bring their positive message of hope, inspiration, and conscious action to the forefront. Help us create a future of amazing, uplifting stories that can be told, so we can tell our children and they can tell their children of what hope and conscious action is all about.
I want to thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
It takes courage to step into your calling and go for your dreams. Sabotage monsters can get in your way, preventing you from reaching your potential. You can choose to struggle alone, or you can choose community and support, someone to walk beside you, meeting you where you are. If you are ready to make real and lasting change, Coach Christine Clark is here for you. Find out more about one-on-one coaching and group programs with Coach Christine at sunglowtransformation.com.
Are you feeling lost in this journey we call life? When you awaken the truth of your patterns, limitations, and beliefs, you can start to heal relationship with yourself, others, and your circumstances. I'm Ritika Rose, life coach, author, and speaker. My mission is to help you align with your most powerful, authentic self and transform how you experience your inner and outer world. Find the confidence and peace to live the highest version of your life. Visit RitikaRose.com.
Day-to-day living can be difficult in our world today. Most of us don't know how to live a peaceful, joy-filled existence. Learn how to break through these barriers and live a transformative life on Love and Light with me, Dr. Lisa. Every day living in peace, every second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To work with Dr. Lisa, visit EducationThroughEngagement.com.
Welcome back. Thank you, Nova, for being on the show today and helping us to move through our dreamscape. So you were talking about something a moment ago. And if anybody wants to reach out to Nova, what's the best way for them to do that? If they wanted to talk to you about maybe dream consultations or energy work?
Yeah, definitely. You can reach out to me. You can send me an email. My email address is bodyworkbynova@gmail.com.
So again, that's bodyworkbynova, N-O-V-A at gmail.com. And is that your website as well, or no?
That is also my website, yes, bodyworkbynova.com.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Yeah. Keeping it easy.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Yeah, pretty cool. Yeah, and then just in case people were curious, if they were watching you visually right now, you have some tattoos on the center of your hand. They're so cool because she is a body worker and they are eyes. Like, can you tell us about your tattoos on your hands?
Yeah, sure. My tattoo artist I've worked with in the past was offering discounted sessions for palms of hands and feet because they didn't have a lot of experience with it. And I was like, cool, I want it. But because of my work, I had to really plan it a lot of time off. I had to plan about 3 weeks off for them to heal. And so I just went on vacation after I had them done, but it really felt like opening the portals in my hands. And when I went back to work after that, it was different. I feel a lot more so.
Yeah. And so their eyes, as if you're seeing into the body and into the energy of the person you're working with. So it's like literally opening up, because your hands and the bottoms of your feet are secondary chakras. And so whenever you really open them, and then the other thing about you being a body worker that I was always really fascinated by is that when you are working with people, you're one of the few body workers I've known who just really kind of stays out of the energy. Like, you're an amazing body worker and so present, but your personality seems very out of the way, so that that person can just have their own emotional experience or their own physical experience of healing. But you kind of ground through your feet too. So what's that process like?
Well, thank you for the compliments. I got a big personality, so I really try to I envision actually myself like a channel. And if I feel myself getting too in the way, I like to the sides of the channel. I'm like, no, you can have your moment after work. Like, just let it come through. I do, throughout sessions, my kind of constant thing I'm doing is feeling the bottoms of my feet, the palms of my feet. And that's a practice I've had for a long time in meditation. Actually, when I would get overwhelmed by emotions, I would just put all my awareness in the palms of my hands and the palms of my feet. And I started doing that before I got the body work. And that just really helps me kind of like to the sides of my channel and like stay out of the way and just let whatever wants to come in, come in.
And so when you're working with your own emotions, this is a really good thing for empaths, you let it just kind of flow through you then, like anything that comes, like just flush through you, either from like, if other body workers or energy workers are out there or somebody who's just emotionally sensitive, you can just imagine it all going to the earth, or what happens when they're open?
Sure. Yeah. I actually tell this to I work on a lot of very sensitive people and say this to my clients all the time, in that like, as a very sensitive person, you're never gonna not feel other people's stuff, but you don't have to let it stick to you. And so when you feel emotions, if you can't tell if they're yours or not, just bring awareness to your foot portals. Be very aware that energy is always rushing through. And sometimes I have to go be alone to figure out if it was mine or not. And usually by the end of the day, I'll reassess and realize, no, that wasn't mine. That wasn't mine. Oh, that was mine. Okay, I'm gonna address this. And so really just consciously, constantly throughout the day, especially when in public, just put awareness in all of your palms. And that really helps the energy just cycle and flow through.
Yeah. Wow. That's a good tip, actually. Especially, I think the other thing that does is it helps people get really in their body by sending energy out the palms, the hands, and the palms of the feet. It gets you more in your body, because most people tend to live a little above their head, or they breathe pretty shallow, or they're more in their head, or they're more in their emotions. And when you're doing what you're saying, when I'm just kind of watching it energetically, it really grounds you in your body. And the other thing I notice about your energy, because you are empathically super sensitive, but you have really good boundaries. We've talked about that before. You have really good boundaries. And I'm like, how do you do that, girl? And
there are places I have bad boundaries.
But for the most part, as a person, I think that people generally don't cross your boundary. That's different if you're like in, you know, relationships with people that you're soul learning. But for the most part, walking through the world, it seems like you're like, I'm not going to do that, or that's a no, or I'm just going to keep on my path and not get overly involved with people. And I'm like picking it up left and right. Oh yeah, 8 billion people, I can totally help everybody, right? But the boundary, I think really doing that grounding through the bottoms of your feet gets you in your body, so that you're more aware of your body wisdom around boundaries.
perhaps, yeah, it makes me very aware of all the dramas going on around me that aren't actually me. So rather than getting sucked in, it's just like I'm witnessing it all happen. It's very overwhelming, actually, and I'm rarely in public because of it. But like you said, I usually don't play into it because I can just feel its ever-presentness outside of myself, right? And so just trying not to feed into it.
Yeah, it's a really good sensory awareness of our secondary chakras and how we can be more present with them, because we always talk about those seven chakras. So so one thing you were mentioning before we went to break is having visitations. Some people do have dreams where they feel sometimes alien, star being, planetary, galactic, different types of beings, sometimes angels coming forth like a visitation. Sometimes people also feel like, for me, I might have other souls come forth, master teachers. So for me, it's usually I've noticed it's ascended masters that will come in. But for some people who are very star related, and you're very star related, they might have visitation. It reminds me of Dolores Cannon's work, where sometimes when we're sleeping at night, visitations happen because they're working on us. Anything you want to talk about with that, about dreams and how it relates? Because those are not exactly dream, but it's in the dreamscape.
Yeah, I've had a handful of those myself, and I know people who they happen to very often. To me, there's a different feeling tone of visitation dreams. Often they will come after the residue dream. So it's like we were saying, it's like the residue dream happens, and then either the dream setting, literally it's like if the snow globe gets shaken up, and then I come to in a different room and like my guide is standing there telling me something. I actually met two of my spirit guides in dreams that way, you know, or every once in a while I'll have the higher self of someone who I'm very close to come and tell me a message in a dream that I need to know about this person, or this person needs me to know, kind of thing. And something that I don't have often, but I know others do, is like the dead family member visitation. And personally, I've never been able to tell the difference between the emotional residue and the actual visitation with those ones. But I think, you know, I definitely believe people when they tell me, no, my grandma came and told me X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, I'm sure she did. Cause you know, when you know, you know.
Or your pets. I mean, you know, all kinds of things. Yeah.
It's my cat has come to me in dreams. She showed me what it was like to have me as an owner. And it really was not something I liked at the time.
Gosh, what happened with that?
She's like, I'm your emotional support cat. Your emotions are unruly. And this is what it feels like as your cat to deal with your emotions. And I was like, oh my God, this is awful. I need to like check this a little bit.
Oh yeah. Yeah. True. I do think about that with animals. Yeah. And then what do you think about with animals? Well, okay. With the visitation, is there anything different that people maybe would want to consider if they've had visitation dreams? Like there's the metaphor aspect of it, right? Sometimes people actually get a message, so an actual message will come through, and if they are the star being or kind of working on you in your sleep or taking you out to other dimensions, what would help people process that when they wake up? Sometimes that can be disturbing for people. Sometimes it's nice and pleasant, and sometimes it can be scary, particularly if the inner child has maybe had entities growing up around them, abuse issues of any sort, addiction energies around people, having something come into your sleep at night when you're in bed, when you're asleep, when you're vulnerable, can sometimes be a bit of a trigger.
Absolutely. I think it can feel kind of invasive, especially if it's something you're not welcoming at that time, or like you said, there's a history of trauma or abuse around that. You know, personally, when I've had visitations from either spirit guides, or I like to say the spaceship that's above Earth that's just waiting for me to come back. Those have always felt very comfortable to me and very just like, oh my God, thank God.
Well, you also have a lot of acceptance about who you are as a star being. Some people don't, because if people knew they were a star being or something from another dimensional realm to be here, it kind of flips them out also, because they don't have acceptance that they won't be accepted being here. So continue.
I'm like, now I'm wondering what to offer some sort of consolation.
I wonder,
weird word, but
if people qualified their dream before they went to sleep. So if people do have visitation dreams and it's uncomfortable, they may really want to call in that pure love and light, their own I am presence to come in and enfold them, a tube of pure electronic white light, something before they go to bed that qualifies the energy that only beings of the highest vibrational resonance. Sometimes you can even put an angel, like Archangel Michael, to kind of guard your psychic space. Some people have very invasive psychic dreams if they're living in a house where there's addiction or fights or conflicts or people that are emotionally unruly. You know what I mean? That can also be psychically invasive.
I think if the setting is not good like that, if you're in a home where you don't feel safe, you might not be able to control your dreams so much. I think that ideally we also can set boundaries with ourselves. I've had to do that when I had too many visitation dreams from the same person. I was like, no, I can't do this anymore. I won't. And I got into a meditative state and I set a very large boundary. And I think since then, I did this about 5-6 months ago, I've had 2 dreams. That's enough. That's manageable. But this was like coming in every night and I was like, no more. Yeah. And I said, this is not, I said to myself, this is not helpful.
I do find people who, sometimes people who have anxious attachment too will psychically get caught up in the space with somebody psychically when they're sleeping at night. So, okay, we're going to take a quick break and we're going to come right back with that topic.
Hi, I'm Amber, your weekly host of the Heart Leader Podcast, where heart and mind align on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I'm here with co-host Austin, and we'd like to know, do you have a passion to make a greater global impact? Are you ready to embrace leading with heart and love? If so, join us and our global community of over 1 million strong on this journey to become heart leaders who change the world. Each episode brings heart-centered connection, building stronger relationships, communities, and businesses. Take a deeper dive into what it means to be a heart leader. For more information, visit www.suivera.org. We look forward to seeing you in the Suivera community.
There isn't a magic pill to creating your healthy lifestyle, yet it doesn't have to be hard or feel impossible. Health works from the inside out, connecting both your body and your mind. Georgette LePage lives and breathes what she teaches, so allow her to be living proof of what can work for you. Connect with her now for a free 30-minute discovery session to see what results you are looking for and how she can help you get them. Visit GeorgetteLePage.com.
We are courageously expanding love on my new show, The Elizabeth Cunningham Show, every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Join me and my guests where we talk about relationships, sex, love, and the ways we wish we could be but never thought were possible. Visit ElizabethAnnCunningham.com and subscribe.
Right, welcome back. I am Adrienne. You're listening to My Wild Magic. And if you would like to check out a really strong meditation practice and learn how to tap into some of these higher dimensions of energy, you can visit my website at mywildmagic.com. Again, that's mywildmagic.com, and check out the Hearts on Fire meditation program that I offer. Okay, so Nova, and if anybody wants to get in touch with Nova, it's say your website one more time.
Bodyworkbynova.com.
Bodyworkbynova. And she's located in Portland. So if you happen to be a Portland, you know, traveling through or living here, excellent body work and energy work. You also do craniosacral, really cool stuff. So anyway, tidying up, sometimes when we have dreams about other people that are very deep. We can have our own deep emotions that are unresolved. We can also have emotional addictions to that person or them to us. And that can overlap in dream space time, because what you're thinking about and feeling throughout the day will play out in your dreams, but it also psychically engages people. But with recurring dreams, yeah. What's up with that? What do you want to talk about with that? Like how does somebody deal with recurring dreams, and what does it think that kind of means with what they're processing?
Yeah. So I've had a few bouts of recurring dreams over my life. And I was thinking about this a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about doing the podcast and realizing, I think recurring dreams happen in part. It's obviously something our subconscious is like, look at this, look at this, look at this, look at this. You're not looking at this. Let me show you another way. And usually they're really, for me, they're pretty distressing when you have these recurring dreams. And it's like, I think part of the reason why they're distressing is because we're not getting it. It wouldn't have to be recurring if we got it, addressed it, moved on. And so a lot of times our recurring dreams are trying to enlighten us to some pattern that we have that we're unaware of, usually an emotional pattern, I think. You know, whatever form that takes, you know, some people have, and a lot of times these recurring dreams are anxious, or we feel anxious about them, or there's some sort of anxiety-riddling situation we're in.
That's true. Yeah. With all my recurring dreams about my dad, dreams about water chasing me, and dreams about having to go back to high school. Yeah. They're all emotional, mm-hmm. all stressful, all anxious. Yeah. True. So you look for the, like, how would you do a metaphor in a recurring dream? Like, what do you kind of.
So I would do it the same way. I'll be honest here. I had this recurring dream for about 3 or 4 years about bathrooms, and I'd go in this bathroom and it would be disgusting. And I'd be trying to find a clean place to use the bathroom, and I'd go deeper and deeper and deeper, and it would get grosser and grosser and grosser. And these went on for years, and they changed form as what I was working on changed form in my waking life. And at the root of the issue was I couldn't release. I couldn't release because I couldn't find the toilet, right? There wasn't one clean enough. I wasn't in a space where I felt safe to release. And there were just many different, like I said, symbols are like the icing on the cake. The little symbols and nuances in each dream were a little bit different, but this was a recurring dream 2 or 3 times a week for 3 or 4 years.
Wow, that's intense. Yeah.
And it was disgusting.
Well, I mean, I would imagine as an empath, as high of an empath as you are, and that's kind of your own learning curve of managing that empathy, you know, because it seems like you're going to the bathroom and it's just dirty. It might be a lot of other emotions around you, a lot of other people's stuff that you don't feel, you know what I mean? That there's no safety mm-hmm. for you just to release and all. Yeah.
Yeah.
And let go of what your own emotions and process.
Right. And because this was a blind cycle within myself, the dreams were recurring. I couldn't release because I wasn't aware energetically, consciously of what I was doing to cause this dream. And once I became aware, I haven't had one of those dreams. I had maybe 2 in the last calendar year.
Yeah, that is awesome. Okay, so then when you get into lucid dream, that's a different type of dream state too. So there's the visitation type dreams, there's the processing dreams, it's just your body, your just whatever happened in the day. But lucid dream is a whole different type of dream where what you're like more conscious of being in your dream and interacting with it.
Mostly you're aware that you're dreaming in the dream. You may or may not have control, but you are awake in the dream, so to speak. And in my experience, we can be lucid in all kinds of dreams, whether they're residue dreams, subconscious dreams, visitation dreams, larger scale, universal dreams. And we can gain lucidity in all of those. But we might find we have different amounts of control based in the dream that we're having or based on other factors in our lives.
So what do you think it takes for somebody to have more of a lucid dream where they are more consciously awake in their dream time? Like, is there any practices or, you know, tricks of the trade that you recommend?
Sure. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff online. People have all these like tricks and hacks. But in my experience, the most lucid dreams I have had have been when I am the most lucid in my waking life and I am the most present and aware that I am awake. I'm not just on autopilot. I'm just very lucid. Another tool that I've used is mugwort. Using a mugwort tincture before I sleep, I almost always go lucid in those dreams from that night. So, you know, if people are into plant allies or have worked with plants at all, mugwort's a really common one people use for dreaming.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And it's, is it more Native American or does it go back to India? Like, I wonder where it goes from. Yeah. Yeah. I know it's Native American. I think I've seen it there for sure. In some of the more, you know, American cultures, but yeah.
I want to say it's cross-cultural. It's been used in a few different ones.
Yeah, for sure. Right. So more of a shamanic journeying with mugwort. Yeah. And just, yeah, tincture, tea, that kind of thing. Right. And does mugwort also just make you kind of relax in general, or is it hallucinogen? Do you know, or?
No, I don't think it's psychoactive in that way. I like the smell of it. So often I'll use it, you know, in place of, you know, other smoky, smudgy things. I like to use mugwort.
And some people also do have it as stuffed in little pillowcases by their bed too. Yeah. That's a great one. Yeah. So I wonder with people who have the capacity to be lucid dreaming that they are, I wonder if they have a natural, like Jessica, our producer, was just saying that she has it. I know somebody else who does a lot of active, like just naturally gifted at lucid dreaming. And they're both very like they seem like they're very visual, very clairvoyant, their third eye is very gifted, very open. I wonder if that makes a big difference just in terms of people who do lucid dreaming.
I would imagine. Yeah. The people in my life who are all very creative people too, or people who just have very rich dream lives often speak of being lucid often. So I do think it's something you can cultivate, but I think some of us are a little bit more predisposed to having it come naturally than others.
Right. And it wouldn't take much to turn that switch on, I guess. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So then you mentioned also about a one sentence, like if you have a dream and you want to do journaling. So what's the one sentence way of analyzing your dream?
Yes. I feel like this is such a good topic to just end on because it's a great, like across the board, no matter where your dream is coming from, no matter what the deal is with it, you know, and Adrian and I were speaking off mic, and she was saying something about like, it's just so hard to like get past the paragraphs. I just want to write paragraphs and paragraphs and paragraphs. And I say, great, write paragraphs. But after you've journaled everything you can think of about your dream, reduce the story down to a sentence. You know, I shared earlier about the car dream. So my sentence would be, somebody else drove my car and I felt freaked out about it. How does that sentence, turn that sentence into a metaphor and apply it to your life? And usually when you really reduce it down to one sentence, it becomes pretty easy to see the story in your life that your dream is trying to talk to you about.
Okay. So like we started with my dream, right? And I'd be like, paragraph, 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 all these things happen, right? But at the bottom of it, because I've been thinking about it as we've been going through it, right? So basically, somebody was sitting across from me in the room. And when these other people who I felt safe started showing me how to blow this air and it was moving energy, what I've noticed just in talking to you is like, oh, if I just talked to this person, it would clear the air. So
right,
blew air and everybody came together. Like, so the metaphor would be, so what would the sentence be like?
So the sentence in your case would be something like, I sat apart from my friend, but as we gained confidence, and I it's so hard now that we kind of figured it out, but like, and blew as we cleared the air, we came together. You know, it might be, then the dream would be saying like, maybe you need to have a conversation that you feel separate right now, but then by having this conversation, you'll feel closer again.
Yeah. And it was just fun and friendly and there was nothing really wrong, but it just added to this fun, friendly feeling. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Okay. And so then so the metaphor would be clear the air, just
right. And so often I think our dreams speak in figures of speech like that, where it's clear the air, or you have a little parrot on your shoulder that keeps talking. I'm like, what are you parroting? Whose beliefs are you parroting?
Right.
You know, often they're punny. Our dreams can be punny.
They can be. Yes. Depends on how witty each of our little brains are, right? That function with us. Okay. So thank you so much for being on. If anybody wants to get in touch with Nova to do some dream analysis or energy work, bodyworkbynova.com. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much for being on and fascinating. And stay tuned for next week.
Thank you, Adrian. It's been wonderful.
Thanks for tuning in to My Wild Magic with me, your host, Adrienne Cobb. Each one of us has a soul purpose on this earth and a higher purpose full of creative expression and unique soul attributes. Make sure to tune in next week on TransformationTalkRadio.com to continue your journey home to your truest self and pursue the path of unconditional self-love. If you would like to learn more about me, visit MyWildMagic.com. Again, that's MyWildMagic.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.